You're about to listen to a message from Peace Church in Middleville, Michigan. Feel free to share this content broadly, but please don't alter it in any way without our permission. We pray that you're convicted, comforted, and commissioned by the preaching of God's Word.
Well, welcome to 2017. My name is Pastor Ryan. I'm the family pastor. Senior pastor, Pastor Adam, is in Mexico right now, so we won't pray for him. How many of you have already failed at your New Year's resolutions? You guys are wonderful. How many of you, you've never even made one? There you go. You guys are catching on. You're catching on. You know, I thought that today, with the birth of a new year, we're not in the midst of a series right now. It's just a one-time sermon. With the birth of a new year, I thought we just kind of go back to something very foundational to Scripture, to our faith, to the teachings of Jesus, and that's the idea of being born again, the new birth, as it were. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. There's Bibles in the racks around you, and I do believe those are on page 1129, if you want to go there. Otherwise, in your own Bibles, John chapter 3, we're going to read the first 15 verses. First 15 verses. So John chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Here we go, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one else can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Verse 3. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Verse 9. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man." Verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." This is John 3, verses 1 to 15. "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever." Let's pray. Father, I pray, Lord, at the birth of this new year, we will live into our new birth. And for those who have yet to believe, I pray, Father, that you will cause them to be born again. It's in the power of the Spirit and in the name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. So before I went into ministry, I was in farming, or as close to farming as what I could do. I actually worked in the produce section at a grocery store. But I worked at a grocery store in downtown Grand Rapids off Fulton Street. And I had been a Christian for about 3 years at this time. I was in my early 20s. And I worked the early morning shift. And I got a new manager one day. And she came in about mid-morning. And, you know, she came in. We didn't know each other. We're working together, just, you know, having chit-chat, trying to get to know one another. And she asked what I like to do for fun. And at that point in my life, I was playing guitar at another church's youth group. I was one of the worship leaders for their youth group. And I told her that, you know, Wednesday nights, I'm pretty committed to going to this church and playing for the youth group guitar. And she said, "Oh, you go to church?" Yes, yeah, I just said I play at the youth group, but yeah, I go to church. And she said, does that mean you're a Christian? Dangerous question nowadays, right? And I said, yes, that means I'm a Christian, yeah. And then she asked me the question that made that conversation stick with me and probably will stick with me the rest of my life. She said, how do you know? And so for those in the house right now, for you who would say, yes, you are a Christian, question goes to you. How do you know? At this point, I'm sure my face kind of expressed a little bit of confusion or wonder, and I just said, well, because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and what he did for me on the cross, paying for my sins and triumphing over the grave. And she said, okay, and here it is. But have you been born again? That's what she asked me. Have you been born again? At this point, I'm sure that I just had a big old question mark on my face. And I said, yes, I've been born again. I didn't see any difference between being born again and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. Yet she was making a distinction. And I remember thinking, like, why? What's the problem? So I said, yes, I've been born again. And she said, good, I have too. Now, I tell you that story for three reasons as we get going. First one is this, at that moment, I was challenged to think about my faith, not just in terms of what I believe, but how I live. It was like she wasn't asking me, do you believe in Jesus? She was asking me, do you live like Jesus? Have you been born again into a new life? That's what Jesus is talking about here. We're going to dive into that in a moment. But I really had to think about, do I have a new life in Christ, because of Christ? Am I living something different than I did before him? Second thing was I had to start thinking about my faith in unpopular terms. I was learning something about being out there in the world, that the world does make a distinction between Christian and born-again Christian, or at least a lot do. I asked two of my friends who are not Christians, who live in different parts of the country. One lives in San Francisco, one lives in Chicago. In preparation for this sermon, I said, what do you think when someone tells you they're a born-again Christian? And both of them basically gave the same answer. They both basically said, well, I would think that's a person who's come out of addiction. Somebody who had some sort of radical transformation in their life. You know, I'm just going to say it now. We're going to get into it. The Bible makes no distinction between Christian and born-again Christian, right? If you're a Christian, that means you've been born again. To say you're a born-again Christian, as R.C. Sproul says, it's like saying you're a Christian. But there's two things that happened. I was learning and kind of have learned. For the church, some of us have developed a little code word that born-again Christian means you are a real Christian. But for the world, a Christian is the acceptable kind. A born-again Christian, those are the crazy ones. Again, Jesus makes no distinction. If you are a Christian, that means you've been born again. How has such a biblically important term that comes right from the words of God and our Savior be something that we can be shying away from? Because I'll be honest, as a pastor who works in church ministry and I'm saturated in the church world, I just don't really hear us speak in that way. Maybe it's our like Reformed Presbyterian vernacular, I don't know. But I just don't hear us speaking in terms of being born again. Is it because that has a cultural meaning that just we try to stay away from? But yet when it comes from Jesus, what he means, why he taught it, we need to own that. Have we forgotten, hear me now, the supernatural significance of that? It makes us otherworldly. Jesus says that to be born again means you've been born of the Spirit. He just wasn't being cute here, guys. He was saying something deeply profound about the nature of what he does for us. So, today, with the birth of a new year, we'll take a look at this new birth, what Scripture calls being born again, to get a fuller picture of this. There's three questions I want to ask. why Jesus teaches on it, what Scripture says about it, and how we experience it. That's where we're going today if you want to take notes. Why Jesus teaches on it. Let's spend a few moments glorifying him. There are three things under this one point that I want to draw out, and the first one is this. It demonstrates his authority. Jesus teaches on being born again because it demonstrates his authority. Remember what's going on here, okay? We got Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee. That means he was a person of influence. He was a person of influence culturally, politically, socially, religiously. He was a high-level guy. And he comes to Jesus, and he says at night, by the way, right, so nobody really sees him, but maybe he's just trying to be discerning. We don't know. So here's the idea. He comes to Jesus, and he says, we know you're from God. You do things that only a person who has God with him can do. Right? Nicodemus is coming in to Jesus, but did you notice that there's no question being asked? Nicodemus just makes a statement. It's like, I mean, when I read that, what I kind of see is Nicodemus is just kind of, he's lobbing Jesus some respect. Hey, you're a man of God, I'm a man of God. You know, you do some awesome things, I know God's with you. Period. Not question mark, period. And Jesus, what does Jesus do with that? Jesus does not play ball with what Nicodemus is doing here. Jesus uses this time to demonstrate his authority. He does not answer by saying to Nicodemus, yeah, you know what, I am from God. Thank you for noticing. I work really hard at it. He doesn't play ball there. He uses this time to keep his position of authority. He says, Nicodemus, if you want to see God, you need to be born again. Oh, Nicodemus, you think you're a man of God? You need to be born again before you can even enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, don't kid yourself. Your entire life needs to be traded in for something new if you think you're going to know and have something about God. See, what Jesus does here, this is so different from the Jesus I think a lot of us have adopted. Jesus draws a line in the sand. He says, you want to come into the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. We don't like a Jesus who draws a line in the sand, right? We like a Jesus who welcomes everybody just the way they are. Now, I fully believe that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. But I tell you this, Jesus is the one who says, born again, that's how you get into the kingdom of God. We're going to fully flesh out what this means. But the idea here is this, is that you can't just get in. Right? Just because you were born a certain way, that justifies nothing. You need to be born again. Jesus lays the term, demonstrating his authority as to who or who cannot come into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus tries to just respect Jesus, but Jesus wouldn't allow it, right? That's what we have today. We got people, they just want to respect Jesus, right? We don't want to believe in him. We don't want to submit to him. We don't want to give our lives to him. We don't want to believe that we're so bad that he needs to save us. We just want a Jesus that we can, you know, respect. But Jesus just does not allow anybody that, especially of all, the ruler of the Jews. I mean, like the Jew of Jew guy. The head honcho Jew guy of the Jews, his own people, Jesus says no. They must be born again. There's no just respecting Jesus. Every encounter that we see that someone has with him, they either walk away hating him or worshiping him. There's no just, yeah, he was a nice guy, respecting him. Jesus lays down the terms. You need to be born again. It is 2017, 500-year anniversary of the Reformation. John Calvin said some 500 years ago, by the term born again, Jesus means not the amendment of a part, but the renewal of the whole nature. Hence, it follows that there is nothing in us that is not defective. For if reformation is necessary in the whole and each part, corruption must be everywhere. Jesus isn't just being cute when he says we need to be born again. What he's saying is everything about our life will come to naught. We need to trade that in for something new. Jesus says, if you were a house, renovation's not possible. It needs to be total demolition. Jesus says, if you were a house, you couldn't make it on Fixer Upper. Ground up, new foundation, the whole works. That's what it means to be born again. And this leads to the second aspect of why Jesus teaches on being born again. It confirms his deity. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Jesus says he is speaking of heavenly things because he is from heaven. The Son of Man, you guys probably know this, I'm sure, if you've been around church any length of time. The Son of Man is an Old Testament term that Jesus uses upon himself to specifically denote his deity. Even though it says Son of Man, it can kind of be kind of confusing. Scripture says he's talking about his deity here. The Son of Man has descended from heaven. See, earlier Nicodemus says to Jesus, you do a lot of great things. You seem like a good man. God must be with you. And Nicodemus is like, Nicodemus, you got it wrong. Jesus is like, Nicodemus, you got it wrong. God's not with me. I am God with you. And Jesus is God with us. And he came to us for a reason. And that's what we see here in this final one. Jesus teaching on born again means he reveals his mission. The last two verses say something kind of interesting. There's a story in Numbers chapter 21. God's people, Israel, they're out in the desert. God has saved them from the bondage of slavery, and they're in the desert awaiting to enter the promised land. You probably know the story, right, if you grew up in Sunday school. But the Israelites have a problem. They do something quite often. It starts with a G. You know what I'm talking about? Grumbling. They do grumbling. They're grumbling. They're grumblers. And they're out there and they're grumbling. And God says, you know what? I'm done with this. So God sends not just snakes. Oh my goodness. Sometimes there's stories in the Bible, right, that we don't like to go to very often. This might be one of them. God doesn't send just snakes. He sends fiery serpents. Fiery serpents. Snakes aren't good enough. They have to be on fire. Right? Fiery serpents to Israel, and they bite the people who are grumbling and complaining. And they start dying. I'll tell you this, my friends. Like, if you got bit by a fiery serpent every time you complained, do you think you'd still be a complaining person? Can you imagine that? Ah, it's raining again today. I mean, I love the rain. Thank God for it. Right? Car broke down again. What a piece of... I'm just happy to have one. I'm just happy to have a car. Sometimes I think God knows what he's doing, right? But here's what happens. People begin dying. And Israel does what they should do. They repent. They go to God and they say, we're sorry for doing this. We repent. So what God does is he instructs Moses to cast a bronze snake. And he puts a snake up on a pole. And everyone who's been bitten looks at that snake, that bronze snake, and they're healed. And the Bible says, and they live. And so Jesus reveals his mission by pointing to himself being lifted up on the cross as the ultimate salvation that the story in Numbers 21 points to. That those who believe in him may not be just healed in this life, but they'd be healed to have eternal life. And life apart from Christ is one of sin and death. Jesus' mission was to save us from our sins, and he did that by being lifted up on a cross. Our sins are so great, there is no fixing us. We must trade this life in and be born again. Jesus teaches on being born again to demonstrate his authority, confirm his deity, to reveal his mission. But Scripture continues to build upon this. The New Testament references this idea of being born again almost 20 times. And there's so much to learn from this. I just want to pick out three things that the rest of Scripture begins to say. First one is this, is that being born again grants us a new birthright. Before we are born again, the Bible says that we are dead in our sins. Dead people don't do much except decay. The Bible says that's our spiritual state before Christ. We are dead. And that is our destiny, death. Sin and death. But when we are born again, we are born into a new birthright. Did anybody know this better than Peter? You know the story of Peter, right? I mean, this guy is all over the place in his relationship to Jesus and in his walk with him, right? He's saying to Jesus, I'll give my life for you. 2 seconds later, he's denying him. Jesus reinstates Peter. I mean, Peter knows what it's like to walk with Christ, walk away from Christ. Peter knows what it's like to be born again. And listen to what Peter says in his first letter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. What is this inheritance? It is right standing before God. It is eternal life. It is adoption into God's family, as it says in Galatians 4. It's a life of hope, not of despair. And this leads us to the second thing. Our sins are taken away. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Don't get too hung up on water and Spirit. There is a little bit of debate in Christendom about this, but I think generally most people understand that Jesus is pointing to a prophecy in Ezekiel 36. Listen to this beautiful prophecy of God. It says, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God knows we cannot do it on our own. It has to be him, start to finish. Water refers to the cleansing of our sin, and the Spirit refers to this new life attained for us by Christ's crucifixion on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Our sins are taken away. God remembers them no more. So no more should we hold our sins against us or our neighbor. Do you understand the absolute profound beauty of what I'm saying to you right now? I'm afraid you don't, because I think we generally, we're good people. Our sins aren't that great. So when we say Jesus has taken away our sins, it's kind of like, well, that's nice. He cleaned our room for us. Like, I think sometimes that's like what we, that's the weight we give to it. It's like Jesus kind of just tweaks things in our life. Jesus takes away the sin that is destining you for hell and gives you a new life, a new birthright. You don't have to inherit hell anymore. Heaven is what's in store for you. He has taken away our sin. There's so much to be spoken about here that we see in Scripture. So I just one more. This is caused by God. The theological term here for new birth or born again is regeneration. For you theologians in the room, here you go. Systematic Theology by Norman Geisler says this. Regeneration is the impartation of spiritual life by God to the souls of those who were dead in their trespasses and sins. He goes on to say, the source of regeneration is God. The result of regeneration is adoption. The means of regeneration is the Holy Spirit. And the duration of regeneration is eternal. I love that. Even the term born again denotes this is not of our doing. We can't choose to be born. But Jesus says that we shouldn't marvel at this, because it's a simple truth. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. To be born again is to be born of the Spirit. I want you to hear this one. To be born again means to be born of the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. It's his working. So a couple quick things. If you've come to a faith in Christ, God bless you. But you should know that that means the Holy Spirit has been working in your life even before you made that decision. And maybe that is you. Maybe you're here today or listening to this podcast. I believe that God works in people before they make a decision for him. And I think this text confirms it. And so if that's you, if you've yet to make a decision for Christ, I believe God could be working in your life right now. So listen to him. Respond, follow, submit. Jesus also says, you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. This means God can and will save anyone, and it's not up for us to determine who can and cannot be saved. Nor should we give up hope on anyone. Maybe there's someone in your life who you've been praying for decades, that they'll come to a faith in Jesus, that they'll get right with God, that they'll take their faith seriously. I'll tell you this right now. You don't know where the wind comes from or where it goes. So it is with the Spirit. Don't give up hope. Keep praying, because God can and will save anyone. So this born-again life, how do we experience it? You ever see signs like that? When I was a little guy, I thought ye was a misspelling of he. So I was like, who must be born again? Three things that we're going to close up with so we can get on with 2017. Experience the new birth, three things. First one is this: believe in him. Believe. Believe. What does that even mean, right? What does it mean to believe in him? Simple statement. Of course, the pastor's going to say it. Believe in him. It's more than just an acknowledgement that Jesus was a real historical figure. It means he's your salvation and your motivation. Motivation. Whatever you do is both empowered by him and it is for him. He's your salvation, meaning you are not, I'm sorry, good enough to save yourself. It's only through him and in him and because of him that we are made right with God. And that is our new life. John, who records what we've been looking at, that's the gospel. He also writes three letters to some church people. And in one of them, he says this, 1 John 2:29, he says, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. To believe in him is to chase after his things. To be passionate about the things that God is passionate about. To follow in his footsteps. But John goes on to say this. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. Let's just pause for a moment. Does that mean when you've been saved and born again that you never sin ever again? No, you will. We are human. On this side of eternity, we're gonna trip up. But what John is saying here is that you don't live in open rebellion to God anymore. You don't constantly live doing the things that you know grieve the heart of God. That points to a person being unregenerate. We know, Scripture reveals, there are people who say they're Christians, right? But they're not born-again Christians. To be unregenerate means you've not experienced the new life to live after him. And I think that we've forgotten how staggering of a notion it is to be born again. We don't live in sin anymore because we've been born again to live into him. This is so profound. I think for us, we've just heard this, we've got comfortable with it. Let's put it in this way. It's like this: when you accept Christ, you get a brand new name. And you have to change all your documents to this new name. Your birth certificate, everything. Brand new name. No longer go by the name that you have. When you accepted Christ, you get a brand new name, and that's how you have to introduce yourself from now on. You'd think, wow, that's a pretty big deal. Being born again is a bigger deal. That's how radical of a transformation being born again is. And maybe you have a time in your life, I don't remember being born again. I just remember always growing up loving Jesus. That means God has been working in your life. Good for you. Chase after him always. And this idea of getting a new name, it's actually pretty biblical, right? Simon becomes Peter. Saul becomes Paul. But remember, this new birth, it's not just a nice little saying of Jesus. It is something very real and profound that is supposed to happen. Next, live into hope. Scripture says that with our rebirth, we are born into a living hope. But I'm going to be really real with you for a moment. I think for us in the West, particularly in America, particularly in the Midwest, we just don't really understand the profound beauty of hope because we have nothing to worry about. Like, what's the worst thing you have to worry about? And I'm not saying some of you don't have some grievous things that you've experienced, but I'm saying as a whole, are you worried about your life between now and getting home? See, when Peter says that we're born into a living hope, he was writing to people whose very lives were on the line because of their faith in Jesus. And maybe this doesn't really ring with you right now, but there may come a time in your life where you are faced with something very hard or very grievous or very detrimental. You have to remember being born again means you are born into a living hope. For the world, hope is just wishful thinking. For the world, hope is the picture of what will be as to fuel motivation, right? For the world, rebellions are built on hope. But for the Bible and for Christians, hope is confident assurance in the promises of God. Let me say this again. Hope for Christians is the confident assurance in the promises of God. That no matter who is president, no matter the rate of global climate change or the state of the economy, God is good. He reigns. And what we hope for is not what we wish for, it's what we know to be true. It's what we've been born into. We just don't have this, we live this. We live into hope. And finally, daily renewal. Titus 3 verse 5 says that he saved us not because of works done by us in our righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. See, we don't need New Year's time to develop New Year's resolutions to get our life back on track, right? We have already been born again. And we already have this renewal of the Holy Spirit. Lamentations chapter 3 says this: the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. To be born again means to have this life, this eternal life, and to live into it now, every day. We experience it with a daily renewal. Every morning we get up. The other night I was watching a movie. This was the final movie. It was the third movie in a series. It was a trilogy. This is the final scene of the final movie. And no, it was not Lord of the Rings. Okay? Only Ethan and Adam are that much of nerds. I'm a special kind of geek, right? And what happened is that this, I won't tell you what movie it is. If you can guess it, great for you. But here's the idea. There's this three-movie quest that these people had been on. And they completed the quest, right? They completed it. Everything was made right. And it's the final scene, and you have these two friends. And they're about to part because their quest is over, and they're never going to see each other again. And everything that they worked for had been accomplished. And the one guy says to the other guy, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. And the other guy responds and says, how exciting. You know what? That's for me, that just kind of captured for a moment my life in Christ. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't know what he's got planned for me. How exciting. Daily renewal to live in this new life, to be born again. I don't got to worry about the things of the past. I get to hope for the things of the future. How exciting. My prayer is that in this new year, you'll experience the new life in Christ. That if you have not been born again, you'll pray to receive what God has for you. And so, Jesus teaches on being born again to demonstrate his authority, confirm his deity, and to reveal his mission. Scripture continues this message by showing us that being born again grants us a new birthright, that our sins are taken away, and this is all caused by God because of his great mercy and his grace. And we experience this new life by believing in him, living into him, and by having this living hope with a daily renewal. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to pray, Lord, over the beginning of this year. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room. It is their best year yet. But Lord, if it's not, if trouble is what's on the horizon, Lord, I pray that we will cling to this new birthright. We'll cling to this living hope. And we'll know, Father, that every day you have new mercies for us because you are that good and you are that loving. So, Father, I pray that we would depart from this place with this new life inside of us, working its way out through us, because you are good and you are gracious. Help us to do the things that you promised you would do in Ezekiel, that you put your spirit in us to help us as we live out your will and your commands. God, you are so good. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen.